Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me, Sis. Lisa and I are super excited today because we have got an extremely interesting guest who I think fate just knew we were eventually going to find each other, because I was just told a couple weeks ago that I needed to track down Layla Luna, who is the founder and CEO of Just Be, a nonprofit in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. And she is doing big things in my home state of South Carolina to raise awareness and make it a more friendly place for our family members on the spectrum. So I am going to let Layla just take it away. Layla, why don't you start telling us who you are, about your family, your son's diagnosis, and we'll build from there.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm Layla Luna, and I'm the founder and CEO of Just Be. I'm a proud mom of a nonverbal 17-year-old son named Rio, and he has two sisters that are typical. But for Rio, our journey began in 2008 when, you know, my dream in life was to be a mom. That was my dream. And my dream came true when Rio was born on July 2nd. But nothing really can ever prepare you to find out that your child is special. And in 2010, he was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. And at the time, I was like the only single mom with an autistic kid. All I knew was Rain Man. That was it. And it was such a lonely space. It was so difficult for us to navigate. But, you know, I got in the fight and I was like, okay, I can be Rio's mom. Not only is Rio autistic, he's nonverbal. He has never spoken. Still waiting for my miracle, but he's a beautiful person. And then one night I took Rio and his sister, Leia, just to a local pizza restaurant. And it took forever to get seated, to get the pizza, to get the check. And Rio had a sensory overload meltdown, started screaming and crying and banging his head. And next thing I know, all the customers started yelling at me to control my kid. What kind of mother am I? And that he was a spoiled brat. And the restaurant kicked us out. And I remember just being outside in a Mayday situation, having to call my dad to help pick us up because Rio was so aggressive, and it was terrifying. And I kept saying, why can't people just be nice? Why can't they just be kind? Why can't they understand he's autistic? And interestingly enough, my father had to come, and he was a pilot and a captain in the army. And I had this, and no one has ever seen this, but I started to cry, my makeup everywhere and some bad language here and there. But I grabbed my daughter's swaddle blanket. No one's ever seen it.
Oh,
bumblebees.
There's the bee.
And
thank you for sharing that here.
And I was wiping my tears away and I said, just be. And my dad, being a pilot, said, you know, bumblebees have mystified scientists for hundreds of years. Aerodynamically, a bumblebee should not be able to fly because its body is long and fat and its wingspan is really short. It shouldn't be able to lift. And yet it does the impossible. And I was like, yeah, just like people with autism, they can do the impossible. I went home completely defeated. And the next day I woke up and I thought, like, well, what if that restaurant had known he was autistic? Or what if they had seated us right away? Or what if they were trained in autism? Would that night have been so horrible? And that was the call to action, to be a mom on a mission and to start just be, because of this blanket and that evening. So,
oh God, that is,
I love the blanket.
No one's ever seen it.
I love it. And that was your younger. And so Rio is the oldest of your three.
Rio's the oldest. And then there's Rio 17. Leia is now 12. And Odea, the little sister, is 10.
Okay. So this was Leia's swaddle blanket. Oh my gosh. That is amazing. Yeah. Okay. So you have this moment, you have this revelation that this is what you need to do. So tell us a little more. You told us before we started recording that you are originally from California. Did this happen in California?
It did. It happened in the Valley. I'm from Calabasas, California. So it was in the Valley.
Two children at that time.
Yes. Leia was young with the, you know, and Rio was a little bit older, but still
needing.
Rio.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, of course.
So what brought you to the Southeast?
It was after COVID. I spent most of my time as a professional dancer and a choreographer in the entertainment industry. And I had one of the largest belly dance companies in LA. So I'm a professional belly dancer, probably, I think, the only Jewish belly dancer out there. And so make it even more fun. I spent a lot of time in Egypt and the Middle East, and I just fell in love with cultures. I found myself more of a gypsy. And after having this amazing career, we had COVID, and I went home to flatten the curve on March 14th and thinking I'd go back to my studio, go back to all the contracts. And the world just stopped.
Right.
And there I was, for the first time in my life, looking at my three children locked in a house going, I'm your mom. And I never got to really spend that much time with him because I was chasing the contracts. I was a single mom. So I had to make life, you know, manageable, and I had to make it work. So there was a lot of pressure on top of the diagnosis and, you know, having two typical children in Rio. But it was in that moment of being alone with them and learning how to garden and spend a lot of time that I felt like if I don't jump off the hamster on the wheel now, I will never be able to really do anything different with my life. And of course, sitting, you know, on the phone scrolling, I saw The Notebook and I saw, you know, South Carolina. I met some people online and I thought, yeah, I'm just going to go take a visit. I just want to go see this beautiful place that I've been watching on television and, you know, just obsessing on online. So I went on a vacation after they lifted the travel restrictions. And I think, you know, God has a plan. And I landed and I had those goosebumps on my arm and I just knew there's something here for me. So I went home, sold my house and moved, didn't know a soul. Wow. And like I said, I thought either this is going to work or this is going to be the most expensive mistake I've ever made in my whole entire life.
So, sorry. I have a question. From your strengths, I was a single mom for about 5 years with my four, and I know how hard it was. I'm curious because you had to hustle and work to get the contracts and travel. Were the kids with caregivers, their dad, your grandparents, like who helped you support you while you were out there trying to, before COVID hit?
Right. I had a nanny and I've been married twice. So my girls were with their father, and then Rio's dad lived close, but all the weight was on me.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Everything was on me, and I had to work weekends and nights, and, you know, I didn't get to see my kids. They would go to school. The nanny would pick them up. I'd be in rehearsals. You know, I just, there was no one that was going to come and rescue us. It was that, you know, that focus of a single mom, mama bear. It's all on you.
And
you
I remember because I had daycares, nannies, and I remember once in a blue moon, the nanny would cook dinner and I would almost come home and cry. I was so happy. Because after a whole day of working in school, you got homework to do, and then you got to cook and clean. And I just remember there was just a small thing of a meal being prepared was worthy of tears. Yeah. And then when you made the move, is your family, like your support, your parents, were they in California? Did you really just, you're like, I'm doing this?
My parents were in Prescott, Arizona. So I was just going to just go to Prescott. My brother's still in LA. My sister, it was in Prescott. But I got here and I felt like God was pulling me somewhere. You know, there was just something that kept pulling me. And I've always been a gypsy. I love the world. I've traveled. I mean, I used to backpack through Europe when it was safe in different times. I would flip a quarter, like heads Budapest, tails Prague. I would do stuff like that. But I really just went with, if you get quiet, and I always say special people get special children. I knew there was something for us. I knew that there's something was pulling me here. I didn't know what it was. I just felt it. And I've been to other countries. I've been very blessed to be able to travel. And every now and then you'll go over to different countries and you'll find your people. You'll find your tribe. And I've felt like that in Egypt. I felt like that in Israel. Like, and I got to Charleston and I'm like, I've been here before. There's something here. And I just love the people and driving around and seeing the flowers. It was just the most beautiful place I've ever seen.
It is beautiful. Charleston's
a beautiful state.
Leila, before we move on into the Charleston years, just a quick question. What kinds of therapy, like at what age was Rio diagnosed? Like when did you realize, okay, we got to go see a specialist, something's going on. And then what kinds of therapies did you do from like diagnosis until COVID? Was he about 12 when you came here? Because that was 5 years ago.
Yeah, almost 4 years ago. So
okay, so
and he's 17 now. So he was a little bit older, but 2.5. Okay. I knew. At 2.5, Rio was like just so different. And again, nobody had an autistic kid. I would say he's autistic, and they'd be like, "Oh, he's an artist." I'm like, okay.
"No,
all right, maybe." But he was doing things, and I would go on. It was, you know, there was no Instagram, real Facebook. I would go on YouTube and see these horrifying videos and be like, oh, what does this mean for me?
And we did. I had a father that was kind of like, we can buy our way out of autism. You know, we went to everybody. You name it in Los Angeles, we went to every rock star. Yeah. So many charlatans. We had a lady for $3,000. She could cure Rio with oils. I mean, we tried everything in the world, and he's Rio. Yeah. But we had all the therapies, the speech, the ABA, the occupational therapy. But one of the hardest things was, I'll never forget line. I think the moment, the real moment where I kind of knew that this was going to be a harder journey was we went to the school to get the diagnosis, and they lined you up on a Saturday at an elementary school, and like cattle, we were all lined up, and you go into the gymnasium and you go to, you know, table 23, 24. And they're like, okay, you go to this table. And Rio was sitting there, and it was a school psychologist, and Rio was stimming and flapping. I mean, Rio was everything oral, flapping, stimming, tippy toe walking, lining everything up. You're like, check, check. Okay. Not talking. I mean, I got this book. Yeah. And immediately we sat down, and the school psychologist was like, oh yeah, definitely. This one is definitely autistic. Yeah. This one. I was like, this one's name is Rio Luna. He's my son, and he's going to win a gold medal, and he's going to go to Harvard. And that was the moment. And I got a little bit loud. My parents asked me to step out because we needed the services. We didn't want to offend anyone. I wasn't supposed to, like, you know, dive across the table and like,
but she offended you.
I remember being outside and my parents being like, you have to be calm. You know, don't say anything. We need the services. Don't offend them. And the woman sitting next to the school psychologist came out and she said, you know, Mom, my name is Rachel, and I have diabetes. I'm not diabetic, Rachel. I'm just Rachel. Never stop fighting.
Oh, I love that.
Rachel. Yeah. I love that.
That was the moment. Yeah. That was the moment when I knew I had to be that mom on a mission. I had to be Rio's voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in his silence, I was going to be his voice. Wow. And that's where you found that battle cry, that fight. Mm-hmm. And it's been a beautiful journey because I've learned so much. If it weren't for Rio, I would be LA narcissistic to its finest, living my best life, you know?
Right.
You know, like, oh, it's all about me. And then God gave me Rio and changed my eyes forever.
What? Yeah.
The greatest gift. I got so lucky.
That is amazing. What a story. Mm. So you kind of hit all the different therapy modalities that pretty much all of us have run through.
Occupational therapy, speech therapy, light therapy, anything you could possibly do from UCLA to everything private practice, from doing all the cleanses to you name it.
If nutrition, it out, yeah.
Yeah. Rapid prompting method, you name it. We've done it.
Right. And yet, okay. And yet it remains pretty much what it is.
He's so what does Rio's day-to-day look like now with school support? What does he do, like, in summer or school breaks? I'm assuming he's in probably high school at 17.
He goes to the help group in Los Angeles. He is an amazing IEP and an incredible father. We had to switch custodies because by the time Rio got around 13, the hormones, and he is already 6 foot.
Oh, wow.
Superhuman strong. His dad is about 6'3", 250 pounds, was a professional boxer, personal trainer, and he has a hard time with him. Rio, unfortunately, was very aggressive towards his sister. So it was a lot of pressure that, you know, if I turn him back for 1 second, who knows what can happen. I mean, I just remember when you're talking about the exhaustion, I remember one time I just went in my room for 1 minute to take a shower during COVID, just a shower. And I came out and Rio got a hold of the salt all over the kitchen.
All over the kitchen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I cried. I just cried. You know how hard it is to clean up salt?
Yes. And you step on it for days. Right. That is a tough decision because you're the mother of three and everybody's safety and care is. So you've had to make some really hard decisions. I can't imagine. Just my mom heart goes out to you but it sounds like in terms of service and support, you said earlier before we turned on the recording, that he gets provided for a little bit better in the school district out at West.
Yeah, but I mean, I was fortunate enough, not many moms could do this. I lawyered up, I had a big advocate, and I fought the system, and I got an incredible IEP. We did, it was all because I went, Rio was in an elementary school, and I pulled up one day, and they had forgotten about him, and he was left on the playground, and I came to pull up, and he was climbing the fence. And so, because he was so quiet, they didn't realize that he didn't go back into the class. So we've had every element possible. Luckily, through that more negative experience, we got a positive experience, which brought us to one of the best schools. And he loves it. And he goes to school. He's been at the help group forever. It's an amazing private school. Loves his teachers, got great friends, which, I mean, pairing friends. But yeah. He has wonderful therapists. A fantastic father. So
that's amazing.
The best that he can. We turned, like, we made, you know, lemonade from lemons, yeah. Basically.
You did what you had to do to get the best case scenario.
You sure. Can, but we know that nowadays with the prevalence of autism, it's such a huge number. That kind of access is not as easily, you know, accessible for many parents, a lot of single moms, maybe, you know, different African-American, Latino groups. Everything is very, very difficult to be that voice with also finding that momentum not to break.
Right.
And to be the voice and fight, but also in a system that's very strained because of the capacity. You know, it's just.
And coming to a state where it's not really even, when I got to South Carolina, it wasn't in the conversation. There's still a huge stigma behind autism. And when I got here, neurodiversity was not even a word. I had met people and I would mention neurodiversity. They had never even heard of it.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. It is so behind.
Yeah. The changing the culture is really where Just Be leans into. I think of it as this is about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Changing the culture that our children and our families shouldn't have to sit on the sidelines and watch everyone have this beautiful life, that we can be part of it.
I love it.
So let's dive deeper into Just Be, because I downloaded the app. I've been playing around in the app.
I know when we're adding to it right now.
I got on your website and I was like, look at her. This is amazing.
Yeah. So because your call to action was the pizza restaurant was like a pivotal moment. And then you thought, if these people had, if the staff or the place out of the radar, and then I want to talk about Rio's Law, like you've done some really cool things. So like let's dive into Just Be and what you were like inspired to do.
Yes.
Thank you. I mean, Just Be, you know, I always say, just be kind, just be human. Let them just be. For me, I don't see a difference. I know autism doesn't care about your skin color, your religion, your sexual orientation, your financial background, or your political party. It takes all of us. Autism doesn't discriminate. And with that being said, we need to find a place for all of our loved ones and our children. And the children grow up. Rio's heading into that cliff where he's going to age out. So I just thought, like, okay, if 2 to 4 is the new 5 o'clock, we create a revenue model for businesses on their slower hours of operation, why they are paying their employees just to kind of stand there and wait around. And then after the pizza restaurant, I'm like, I don't need to be there at 6 p.m. That's like the worst place I want to be after being kicked out of a restaurant. And I don't need to be there when it's prime time. But there are so many families like myself, and Rio doesn't orbit the earth by himself. We're a party of 4 when we go out. So the real win is community helping community, for businesses to create sensory friendly and welcoming environment and times that families can go experience, have the same quality of life, go to the movies, get a haircut, find a church to pray in, do everything everyone else gets to do, but do it maybe on a different time. And that's the win-win. And businesses get interested. And then so for what I connected with Dr. Diane Cullinane, a medical expert in the field, and she's written all the training. So we have a sensitivity training for businesses. Once they take the training, they get certified and they have to take a pledge. Like maybe they'll hire individuals that are on spectrum. Maybe they'll just have sensory hours or do a roundup or a discount or create an event. And then we upload them on the app, like a Yelp of autism.
Okay. Love this app. Cool. Yeah.
So this is the big win. If pizza's pizza, I always say power of the pocketbook. We live in a world of social impact. Your money matters. And this is a corporate social responsibility. So for me, I'm not going to support a business that doesn't support my mission or my community. I mean, I'm not reinventing the world. You do it, the wheel, you know, Black-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, veteran-owned businesses, pet-friendly, even vegans. Vegans have so many options, but yet the autistic and neurodivergent community, there's no sensory, you know, festivals. There's no sensory hour. So that was the win to create this momentum. And then also for families that don't have a child that's on the spectrum, they just might believe in this mission and say, you know what? I want to spend my money there. My $50, my $100, it matters. And I want to give it to that business.
Yep.
So that was the first training. And then we went into two more trainings after that. So that's how this all started was I remember telling my best friend in Los Angeles that, you know, I want to create like a Yelp of autism. I want to find businesses. And she went to go find this app. And I'm like, no, Tina, it's in here.
Right.
You need to be a 501c3. I thought that was a pair of jeans. Like I had no idea what a not-for-profit. I was like, what? So I leaned in. I got my 501 and I just hit the ground running.
I love it. Is amazing. Okay.
Just the sensitivity training for businesses. And then you said you have two additional trainings. What are those modules?
So we have our first responder training, which is the most important for us right now because we did pass Rio's Law. And I can tell you about, I don't know if you want me to.
Yes. All of it.
So again, I just want you to know that there's nothing special about me. I am living what every other parent's living. I just wanted to talk about it. And I felt comfortable sharing my story. So I got pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did.
I just got a ticket last month, so don't feel. I'm with you.
Okay, so I'm joining the club.
I got to go to court next month. So
I have quite a lengthy record myself. So we're all in good company.
Thank you. I'm not the only one. No. I got pulled over.
I literally have a court date in my car.
Well, yeah, I've been there. And Rio was in the front seat. And the officer didn't understand and had the sirens and lights going Rio went ballistic. So instead of him running out into one of the busiest streets in Los Angeles, I have that giant scar on my wrist right there. You can see it. I just let him bite me or else he was going to run out because the officer didn't understand and had the lights still going after he turned off the sirens. And I just thought like, why do we have to go through this? And I remember when I moved to South Carolina, I met Sheriff Ritchie, who's the sheriff of Charleston County. And I told Sheriff Ritchie, like, why don't we have a plate to identify that my child's in the car? And he was like, no brainer. That is brilliant.
It is brilliant.
So he introduced me, thank you, to House Representative Kathy Landing. I told her my idea. And it's so interesting because for so long, I was like, why me? Uh-huh. Why me? Why did I have to have the kid with autism? I'm like, why not her? Like, why me? And I didn't understand why me. And I remember telling Kathy about the plate and she said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make Rio's Law happen. She hit the ground running. And I remember getting in the elevator after talking to her and I looked at Sharon Twaddell, my CEO, and I looked at her. I looked up at the sky. I said,
this is why.
Mm-hmm. That's why you.
We passed the House and Senate in South Carolina unanimously and bipartisanly within 6 months.
Wow.
For Rio's Law. And we signed it into law. Governor McMaster signed it into law last year. The second part of Rio's Law already passed the House unanimously and bipartisanly. That is for mandatory first responder training in South Carolina for autism and neurodiversity. We ran out of time in the session last year, so it's being reintroduced. So it will pass. It will become law. And then our training just got accredited by the South Carolina Criminal Justice Academy. So yeah. We are training our first responders. And our goal is that Rio's Law will become the new handicap plate for the autistic and neurodivergent community. So what I've learned, the most important thing about the plate is that after talking to many first responders, they all said, we only look at the plate. We don't look at stickers on cars because the car could have been sold. There are two other big campaigns out there where you can hand the officer an envelope if you get pulled over. And they're like, with fentanyl, we're not touching anything. The other one, to go into the glove box and then you can read about the disability. And they're like, we're not leaning into a car. And to go into glove box can have a lot of legalities. So the problem with a sensory overload is fight or flight. And these officers got seconds. You know, you imagine 6'3", 250 pounds. And most of our kids, our pupils are dilated because they're on meds. And if they take off or they lose language or they see the shiny badge or something, an officer is immediately going to think drug-induced delirium or maybe a criminal because there's no facial recognition to autism. There is no look to autism.
There's not.
And so they got seconds. And if the officer makes the wrong call and hurts them, they lose their job.
Yep.
To live with the fact that they made the wrong call. And then the lawsuits come in. And we've seen it. How many times have we seen that on the news? So Rio's Law, what it does is it lets our first responders know if you're ever on the side of the road or if you're ever pulled over to turn off sirens and lights, if safe for them. You know, they do have backlights that they can do. And to approach calmly, they know what they're walking into, that someone in that vehicle is on the spectrum. We have legislation going in Georgia, love some help, and North Carolina right now.
Love to help you. Let's do this.
And we're talking to Texas. We've got beginning stages of New York, and we want to go nationwide. And we're just, time saves lives.
This is amazing.
I am so fangirling over you right now. You have no idea.
So cool.
Thank you. And our last training, so I'm going to warn you, this one's a little bit of get your tissues. It's called, we just started it, Just Be My Friend. So it's for a training curriculum for kindergarten through fifth grade to teach typical kids how to become friends with kids that are on the spectrum. Johns Hopkins just did a new report that just came out. And children 8 years old and younger, 36% want to die, 35% want to kill themselves, and 18% have a plan in place to commit suicide because of the bullying and isolation. This is happening in our schools, especially what's on the web. The bullying, the internet, Discord, Roblox, social media. And these children, they crave connection. They crave friends. I mean, imagine never having a friend. Rio doesn't have a friend. Yeah. Imagine no one at your birthday party. Rio's never had anyone at his birthday
party.
Yeah. Never being on a team sport, living in your room on an iPad.
Awful. Yeah.
And that's what this generation, I mean, I met a mom just a couple weeks ago who has a six-year-old in Mount Pleasant that's autistic who just tried to commit suicide.
Six?
Yeah. So we want to change that. We want to teach. We have a training curriculum to go into the elementary schools, and we're hoping to roll this out in the Tri-County area as to beta it and to battle the no bullying campaign, because that didn't really work. I mean, who are they bullying? Our kids. Right. And to teach a new generation, because our children are pure, that they can grow up and be kind and to be understanding, to treat true friendship and create, you know, love. Real love.
I almost want to challenge not only like the children are pure and beautiful. I almost feel like part of that chain, which I feel is so critical, is sometimes it's the parents having, like, that don't have any children with different needs in their life or anywhere in their life, and they're in their orbit, and they the kids may get it at school. I almost feel like the parents and the kids should be made to come and train together, so the parents can, because sometimes the parents are just, it's not in their peripheral. It's not even in any of their line of sight. Yeah.
People live in their own bubble. I mean, I'm never one to criticize anyone. I am very, you know, clear that I was gifted Rio. Rio picked me, just like your boys picked you. Mm-hmm. It's no mistake. You guys, you know, like I said, special people get special children. And so you both are very special. But I feel like at times it's hard to, you know, to sit by sometimes a mom or a dad that's like, oh, I wish my kid would just shut up. They talk so much, and I'm like, you know, can I have one word? But that's my journey. And I think that's how we learn as a community and as a world to create that true humanity, to create that. For Just Be's mission and our tagline is, it's not about the disabilities, it's about the possibilities.
Oh, I love
that. I don't want to know about the disability. I know Rio's autistic. That's okay. He's not autistic Rio. He's just Rio.
Just Rio. I love that. Well, and I think our boys, I mean, talk about, it's definitely not about the disability. It's about the possibility, because neither Lisa or I would have ever imagined that they would be handling and doing and participating in what has happened in the last, what are we at? Year and a half? Almost 2 years?
Almost getting up in two. I mean, you made me
Starve.
Connor just said something recently where, you know, he was in an interview and he was just like, when he first found out, when we told him that he had this, he thought he was sick. He didn't understand what it was. And then we just went and spoke in Houston and he said, you know, I was perfectly made and made for a purpose. And he's like, I'm not a mistake.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, you know, I mean, we just worked and he's. He does. We are grabbing the platform and the purpose and being connected with people like you. And we're just so happy that these boys are getting recognized at the level they're at because it's just a fun, cool Netflix show. But there's so much more we can do with there's so much more we can do. Yeah.
Absolutely. You both and your children and that show. Thank you, Netflix.
Yeah.
You've changed the look of what it means to be famous, to be kind, I mean, to be special.
Yeah.
In the truest sense. And if you don't mind, we had a holiday and the rabbi asked Rio to write a letter and he can type when he feels like it. And it took him 3 weeks, but it was one of the holidays, but he, can I read it to you?
Yes. Yeah. Was it one of the high holidays in September or?
It was for Passover. It was in April.
Spring. But
my Moses, and we didn't think up until 13, I didn't think Rio understood anything. You know, we would talk like maybe he was there, maybe we'd baby talk him. I didn't really understand Rio. No one told me. How am I supposed to know? You know, there wasn't much information. It's not like you go on Instagram now or TikTok and you really get to hear or get to watch Love on the Spectrum and really understand what our kids feel. The Rain Man generation, you know? Yeah. So nobody told me. So he wrote this. It took him 3 weeks, letter by letter. My Moses story is the true story about the importance of communicating. I never dreamed in my limited, silent, non-speaking life that I would deliver speech. No one thought I was able to understand or read, but the truth was that on my own I learned. Because I believe in God, I asked him to help me, but nothing changed. Yet I remember that it is quite hard to stay patient if you spend your life in sorrow. Now I have hope. Now I'm blessed with communication. Just being autistic does not mean that you're dumb. This holiday, I've begun my journey to hope.
He wrote that.
Took a long time, but he wrote that.
That is astounding. I mean, it really is.
They're beautiful. All of our
I'm kids. Like so moved by that. I can't.
Please, she needs to meet Betsy.
Yeah, I was thinking that because Betsy made the vest. I was thinking that too.
You need to meet Betsy on the go. You two would have a lot in common and a lot to talk about. That is incredible. That is so, Layla, with your trainings, like how is your organization structured? Like who is under you going out and actually facilitating these trainings? Is it volunteers? How does it work?
Yeah, I always say we're like Oz, you know, we're small but mighty, but never underestimate a mother. Underestimate them. We might be a small organization, but never underestimate a mother.
Right.
Most of it is online or in person. And now we're turning it to turnkey where we're going to just be able to open chapters. We just got back from Sheridan, Wyoming. They want to start Just Be out there. We've already been in New York. So the goal is to get, it's really a lot of moms. Moms get it done. We love our dads. I'm not saying that, but yeah. the moms talk and wrong. We want to bring this to the forefront. So our goal is to get chapters in every state and just to roll out the trainings. Everything is online. We have an interactive platform for our training. So especially for first responders, they can't skip ahead. There's a quiz at the end. With our first responder training, we do talk about things that, again, a lot of the training, not all, but some trainings just talk more about characteristics. We want our first responders to know about the unpleasantries sometimes with the trafficking and the abuse and the suicide, things that happen in this community because it is misunderstood and there's not a lot of resources. So we dive into that, but with our other trainings, you can get it all online or we have with our police officers, we have the train the trainers. So we're just thinking outside of the box how we can scale. In our community, it works for me. We're a strong team of 10, but we keep growing and growing and volunteers.
I just love
volunteers. I'm not for profit, so we're all volunteers.
So anybody could go onto the app or the website and access the training.
Absolutely. It's right on the website. You can get the training, the sensitivity trainings on it, and the first responder training. Just Be My Friend, we're going to roll out in 2026.
Oh, that's the one that really.
So you're targeting the
elementary. We're starting in Wyoming. Wyoming is going to do it. And then also here, we will be baiting it in the Tri-County area, the Charleston County area, to get it into some schools and bait it.
So, Layla, I know you're targeting the elementary kids, which I think is great and so important. I know from our experience, middle school
that's
was hell on earth for Connor.
Tough time.
We had to take him out of eighth grade. And I was a single mom. He couldn't go to school. I mean, he was slipping into depression, anxiety. Grades were dropping, fear to go to school.
Yes.
Administrators weren't helping me. Because Connor and I have actually talked about what can we do. And our first thing was like, let's go for the middle school. Let's get in there.
I have some programming. We can partner on it.
Let's talk.
The middle school, we were going to start with elementary because we could give, you know, every class they have, the structure of it is the lesson plans are 20 minutes. And they look at, it would come with lesson plans like, you know, being different is okay, you know, sensory sensitivities, friendship, bullying. And we also then had a coloring book, the Just Be coloring book, like to just be kind, just be you, and videos and art projects. And just then with the big lead up for April Autism Awareness Month, where all the school would celebrate. And what we would be doing is hopefully the goal would make South Carolina the first certified autism friendly elementary schools in our United States.
That is incredible.
That's what we just, you know, when I started in South Carolina, and you can relate to this, my campaign when I first went to Mount Pleasant was to just be Southern, because all this is Southern hospitality, to be kind.
Well, it really welcoming. Is. It really
That's
is.
All it was. So I think we've been able to, luckily with the community behind it, and this is all about partnerships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
networking and all of that. Yeah, absolutely.
Partnerships are everything. And just creating at the core base for Just Be, and I think you both can really understand this. For me, Just Be is a civil rights and a human rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a movement. I feel that every great community has their moment in history, and this is our moment. This is the moment.
It really is. It really is. It's
absolutely.
It's exciting. Since all of our boys were diagnosed. It's incredible when you think about it.
I know Nikki and I say more than once, because Tanner's about to be 27 and Connor will be 27 in March. When they were diagnosed 20 plus years ago, we had no
nothing.
Netflix Love on the Spectrum to look at. And we had no, like, that's why, honestly, that's why Nikki and I are here on this podcast. Yeah. We want to be the big sisses to...
Absolutely.
All these younger moms, like, I wish I'd had this to go see a Nikki and Elise. Like, what am I going to look like in 20 years? Are we going to be okay?
What's possible? Yeah.
This is the most important, is to get into the conversation, what you guys are doing, because you're sharing another chapter of the diagnosis that I even came later, because Rio's 17, but that was the Rain Man. I mean, I was the one with the son that was like licking the sand and licking the slide.
Yeah.
Or making the dinosaur sounds like everywhere I went, and no one understood. I cried an ocean.
Oh.
I was like so isolated. Everywhere we went, we got kicked out of every preschool, every class. Nobody understood us. And it was so lonely to be a mom and to think like, what did I do wrong? What was it, something I did? Or how is he going to live this? How is he going to live in this world?
No.
Are they going to be mean to him? Are they going to hurt him? Could someone do something to him and I wouldn't know? So the pressure, but I didn't have any big sis. I didn't have talk to me, sis.
Yeah.
I didn't have any of that. It was like, talk to yourself. You know? Great.
Also, be the perfect therapist. Be the perfect advocate. Be a wife. Be a mom. Parent your other children. Still have a sense of identity. I remember just feeling like a sense of drowning for years.
Yeah.
And tired, never sleeping.
Never.
And then every time you went out in public, you had to put on your armor.
Yeah.
See you, and he sees you. He sees you pointing at him. We know the whispers. And so with
with Jess B, we're hoping that we'll change the narrative. If you see me out there in public and you see me having a hard time, instead of staring at me or rolling your eyes or whispering, come up to me and say, you know, is your child on the spectrum? Do you need help?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I do need your help.
Yeah.
A little. Let's change the narrative.
Yeah. I am so excited about the in-school training because Madeline Midge is a teacher and my older daughter Taylor taught for a while. And one of Tanner's favorite things is to go into the schools and read to kids. And we have said, and we go to Midge's school a lot, and we have said it's so much more than just the sharing and the reading of the book and the language development and them paying attention to him. We're like, if they associate the word autism with his friendly face and his demeanor, and they see that he is capable enough, even with limitations, to come into their school, connect with them, command the room, read, it completely changes the narrative in their mind of what autism is and whether or not it's a scary thing or whether or not it's a bad thing. So, oh my gosh, I would love to partner with you too and let Tanner walk in and introduce a training. Let him say, hey, I'm autistic. Like, this is me. And I was a kid like you. But when I was a kid, nobody was teaching me or teaching my friends this. But no. I want you to know about your friend. That just makes my heart so happy.
Yeah. And that's, and Tanner and Connor would be perfect for this because they're role models.
Yeah. And their faces are known.
And as a dancer, and I was chasing an Olympic dream, I had role models.
Yeah.
Our children need role models. And you know what? Our lane is not too shabby to be in. I mean, if you, from the beginning of time, you know, from Einstein to Elon Musk to Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Mozart, you know, Billie Eilish, you know, anyone, Eminem. Oh, I mean, some of the minds have been on this path. From Tanner and Connor, you know, it's like, it's not a shabby lane to be in.
The spectrum is kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm like, these are the cool kids. And I'm thinking, you know, honestly, some of the greatest minds have been on the spectrum. So we need to celebrate brain differences. And the most important thing about doing, and I would love to partner with you, because what that shows is that we have no idea who's sitting in that classroom right now.
Right.
We have no idea who's sitting in their room right now on an iPad. Maybe my son has the next cure for cancer, but we will not know unless we let them just be.
So Layla, I said this on a podcast Nikki was not able to be on, and I was with the Autism Dad. That's his handle on he's great. But one thing, having ridden the ride that we've been on, this crazy ride for the last like 18 months, almost 2 years, it astonishes me, and it more so when we're in our own hometown, the amount of people that barge their way to Connor, want a selfie, want a picture, want to talk to him, want to shake his hand. And my son was bullied out of the eighth grade. My son had no friends. We had to get one of his sister's friends to take him to the prom because he wanted to go to the prom. And, you know, Connor's never changed. He's never been a different guy than he is, that you guys just got to see on a Netflix show. And everybody now wants to cross the room or be his friend or talk to him. So I challenge you. There's a Connor sitting in your classroom. Absolutely. There's a Connor riding the bus with you. There's a Connor in the grocery store. You don't need to dive in cross rooms to get to my Connor was there, and y'all ignored him. You didn't see him. So open your eyes, because these beautiful humans are with us every day.
That's the same thing, because I always say, you know, it's a new dawn, it's a new day. Like, whenever I do training, at the end, we ask if you have any questions. Of course, they're always like, what's causing autism? What do you think? Why is the prevalence so high? Is it this? Is it that? You know, I don't get into any of that discussion. But I took a long time to really live with, like, why are there so many kids being diagnosed? What is happening? And the thing I came up with, and this is just for me, is I believe the reason why the prevalence has gone up and the reason why there's so many children being diagnosed with autism is that they are here to cure us, that our world is a circus. And once you've had a child like this, it changes your eyes forever. And you really get to learn about true compassion, empathy, kindness, you know, human beings of the humanity and love and all the things. And that's what Connor and Tanner embody. So when they can come into a kindergarten class or a fifth grade class or an eighth grade class, they are going to embody the fact that anything is possible and that they are great people and that they are stars and they are inspiring. And these children can say, I'm just like, one day I want to be Connor. One day I want to be Tanner. Yes. And they are saying that. And we cannot sustain with 100,000 young adults aging out every year after the services end. You can't hide a whole generation of young adults in the room on an iPad. We can't sustain it. So we need your children and one day even a Rio to be out there.
Yes.
Say, I'm perfect. I'm exactly the way I was supposed to be. And I find it's actually really exciting to know what the next generation of kids with, you know, hidden disabilities, what does that mean for our world? And I hope that it's the connection that brings us all together. You know, it's a little cheesy, but we always say together we can just be the change, because it's going to take us. It's a movement. And that movement is so powerful. So I
am like so energized. Like I'm ready to go like knock down doors. I don't even know what I want to do.
Warrior, but you know, like
go.
Moms, get it done. Don't mess with Mama Bear.
That's the truest thing we've said the whole life. Moms are the ones who get it done.
And I always say dad plus one, but moms get it done. We love our dads, but
of
you know.
Of course, but that is the truth. So, okay. So Layla, this is all just amazing. Tell us what it means that Mount Pleasant is a certified autism-friendly town. Tell our listeners, what does that mean in Mount Pleasant?
Mount Pleasant, when I moved here, I met Mayor Haney at the farmer's market. So you're never too small or too big. And I just walked right up to him and said, I'm a mom, I have a nonprofit, and I really want to make Mount Pleasant the first certified autism-friendly town in the Lowcountry. And it started with a proclamation. It started with a House resolution of autism awareness. And then we went on to the All-American City Awards. Mount Pleasant won, and we won on inclusion. We won on the fact that Mount Pleasant became certified, with a lot of other parts to it, but that we were inclusive and we dedicated a whole town to being autism friendly, and started with the momentum. So you're never too small. Don't think you can't do anything. You can always do something. And what it means is that, like, our families get to be part of the fabric of the community, that our families, and the best part about Mount Pleasant, not only did they take the certification, you know, seriously, they doubled down and they bought us the Beehive, which is a sensory mobile trailer. It's 8.5 by 24 feet, and we support all the events. So we get to go to our biggest partners, Boone Hall, which is you know, where they film The Notebook. Yeah. And they do pumpkin patch. They have their tree lighting. They have the Strawberry Festival. I think they get like 250,000 visitors a year. They get a massive amount. And we've trained all staff, everything. They're our partners. And we bring the Beehive. Last year alone, we had 10,000 people in the Beehive. And what it is just a safe space. So our families can go to the pumpkin patch. They have a free skip the line. They don't have to wait in line. And if it's too much,
it's too a sensory much noise, break. Yeah.
It's a sensory. They go in and they can come in and reset and get calm instead of not coming and ever having that family memory or paying all that money and being there like 15 minutes and be like, we gotta go. You know, like everyone's staring at us. This is a way for our families to come, enjoy the community, be part of the community. And if it's a little bit too much, and after 10,000 people in it, one thing I've learned is that everyone's on the spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has definitely got something. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stigma out there, and there's a lot of like, it's just a lot for our kids and our adults. So there's a lot of stimuli. So having the Beehive, a place to reset, one thing for me is like, if you're a town or a city, if you're a business or you're having an event or a festival, to not have an area dedicated to the autistic or neurodivergent community in this day and age, when it's the fastest growing developmental diagnosis in history, you're completely out of touch with your community.
Behind. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're a sports, you know, arena and you don't have a sensory room, if you're an airport, I mean, the airports, you can smoke, you can walk your dog.
There's the pet area.
Your dog can tingle.
But there's nothing for our kids. The most stressful thing, even with PTSD, which is under neurodiversity. I mean, this is part of our culture and it's part of our community. And so we just need a safe space. And, you know, the American Disability Act is very powerful, but like our kids are people. We're not a ramp. We're not silver bars in a bathroom. We're human beings. And we need to really address that part of our community that these families can be there and they can have the memories and their brothers and sisters can come. And the best part about it is like when the kids are in the Beehive and we say like, you know, friends, this is dedicated to the autistic and neurodivergent community. So we have a friend that comes in here that's on the spectrum, even adults, you know, that's the true inclusion. We want them to start meeting each other. So inside of it, it's got the waterfall. It's got all the sensory fabric. It's got poppets and spinners. So it's just a calm space to reset, get calm, then go back out, have fun. And if it's too much, come back in. The only downfall with the Beehive is that there's just not enough tissues because the parents cry.
Oh, that is amazing.
Finally, there's a place for them.
Yeah.
And they get to be included.
And, you know, thinking about something like that, like saying, like just having a space to go and where you feel seen and where you feel safe, the trickle out. I mean, mm-hmm. if your affected child is provided for and loved and cared for and respected, mm-hmm. marriage is going to be better. You're going to parent your other children better. You're going to sleep better at night. I mean, it's just like, you know, the trickle out is incredible. If, you know, and it doesn't take that much to support our people.
And there's a new term that's out right now called glass children. And the glass children are brothers and sisters. Are we all on this?
My daughter grew up saying she felt like a glass child.
Yeah, the brothers Leia and Odea that feel like it's all about Rio. And they're important too, that we need to see them. Because most likely if something were to happen to me, they're going to have to take care of Rio.
Right.
So we really need to create memories. You know, don't change the child or the adult to fit the environment. Just change the environment.
Foster the sibling love, not the resentment. And it was, and thank God that wasn't a byproduct in my family. I can see how it happens. But I think also the glass child, when my daughter came to me with that, it broke my heart. Mm-hmm. But I was so tired and I was so worn out. And she excelled at school. She did everything. So I needed her to keep it together. And I just was like, you're good. Okay. Let me go over here. And I didn't realize she felt that way until she was like 23 years old. She told me, I was like, wow.
Yeah. We also need to talk about our girls being autistic. A lot of the time they only think it's boys, you know, the girls do the masking and they usually don't get the diagnosis till much later in life. I mean, we've got, you know, some symbols out there. I don't align with the puzzle piece because I do not feel that Rio is missing a piece to his puzzle. You know, sometimes we'll light up blue because they thought only boys were autistic. We really need to kind of create a new chapter. That's why we love yellow, because it's boys and girls. The bumblebee is, you know, they're all connected, but one's a little bit different, but they're all connected. To be human and to be kind.
And I like that the bee defies like,
physics.
I like that.
That's the impossible. Just like your kids, look at, they're doing the impossible. In eighth grade, would you have thought that they would be one of the number one shows on Netflix? So anything is possible in this world. And we don't, our children spend their whole life, like 20 hours, 30 hours, 40 hours booked in therapy, trying to live in our world. But we spend very little time trying to live in their world. And what your boys are teaching the world right now, thanks to Netflix, is that we get to be in their world.
Yeah.
What a win. And what a beautiful world. Such a kind world. I mean, they're inspiring. I just love them.
No, it's amazing.
We spend a lot of time having a good laugh.
I know. They're fantastic.
They're so funny. They really are.
They're so beautiful. And then Mount Pleasant certifying as an autism-friendly town lets our community know. I mean, I've literally had people Google, where can I live on the East Coast that's autism friendly? And they have moved to Mount Pleasant because of the certification. Wow. And now North Charleston is next. We just got the approval that they want to be an autism friendly city.
That's amazing. Well, let's go.
South Carolina.
Let's keep going up. Yeah.
Every place, whether it's your mall or it's your, you know, if it's the next event or concert, it should all be inclusive. This is the true inclusion. Mm-hmm. Not vision.
It really is.
And this is walking the walk and not just doing this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We can't walk the walk because we don't have time.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we protect this world and that we, if we have to leave this world, that our children have a beautiful life. And that's for me, the race with the clock, you know, just to make sure that Rio has the most beautiful life. And my work is a lot, and I love it. And there's days where I just want to like flatten myself and throw myself out the window. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much, you know, taking it all in. But when I think about Just Be, it may, some of Just Be's accomplishments may not affect Rio, but for the parent that is getting that, wow, that crushing news right now where they don't know which way's up, right. I just hope that because of Love on the Spectrum, because of Just Be, that their life will be such a different trajectory than it is.
And we all experienced. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. I can't imagine having a license plate when he was little, or, you know, knowing that his peers had had a training. And I mean, I can't, you know, we two had to just take him out of school and bring him home because the school was not equipped to help him. And those are things no parent should have to face. They're really,
we're too strong now. We mm-hmm. have too many ways to connect. You know, there's too many of us. And I always say there's more of us than them. And, you know, that's always like, if we were to align fiscally, you know, with the money as far as businesses and create that revenue model, whether it's legislatively, like how we're doing with Rio's law and the training, and if we can massively grow that throughout the state so this becomes the new normal, then, or we're in the entertainment, we're changing the look of beauty and right. stardom and creativity, then we win.
Yeah. Yeah.
We won.
Yeah. We really do.
Then we have an incredible life that we can finally sit back and be like, maybe we get to quit then.
No, totally. So just to kind of start wrapping things up a little bit, I know we've had so much of your time and I'm so grateful to you. Yeah. Where can people find you? Where can they donate? How can they support? Like, tell us, because we want our listeners to be able to be a part of this if they feel moved.
Absolutely. And we would love anyone to join, you know, the B team and create this movement out there. We're at Just Be, like BEE, like a bumblebee, The Change. That's our handle. That's our website.com, justbethechange.com. And then we're also on Instagram, Facebook, Just Be The Change.
Okay.
But we are Just Be, and we would love any help. If anyone wants to donate for not-for-profit, that is our truest win. We're always seeking, and we love donations or funding or partnerships. We would love any help, but legislators, if you're out there, if you've got a state that you believe that this license plate Rio's law would be successful in, please let us know.
Amazing.
If you would like to start a chapter of Just Be Moms, you know, we want our more moms on emissions. We're join our community and let's all work together. There's not one star in the sky. There's trillions of them. There's room for all of us and we can work together. But I would love the support. Follow us on social media. You know, we've got a smaller presence, but we're hoping to grow.
It will grow for sure. For sure.
That would be
Layla, you're an inspiration to me. You know, I'm really excited and we'll be connecting after this. But, you know, thank you for giving us all this time today.
Oh, I'm so glad that this finally hooked up.
Yes.
This is amazing. I'm so inspired.
Thank you so much. And just thank you for listening to my story, you know, because I didn't know what I was doing when I first started with Rio. I had no idea that my journey would take me to being even right here, right now. But I believe we all have that moment.
Yeah.
And I listened to that moment and I became Rio's voice. And I hope to be the voice of millions of others just like him and to join what you both have created for Rio to look up and to have an incredible opportunity to shine. So
yes.
I appreciate it. You know, join the B team and let's
love the B team. I love it. Well, thank you so much. And Nikki, is there anything else from you? That was amazing.
So excited that this was just like such an unexpected gift that you were able to come on today. So thank you, Layla, so much.
Thank you. And we just say go be go. Just go
and, and then over here at Talk to Me Sis, we always say yeah. We love your tagline. We always say we love you, mean it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Layla.
I see look you. Forward to Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Lastly, everybody, if you liked hanging out with us today, do us a favor, hit the follow button, leave a rating, or drop a quick review. It helps more than you know. And if you really loved it, send it to a friend who needs to hear this. And if you're interested in sponsoring a future episode, please send us an email at talktomesismail@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and love you, Mina.